Is everybody doing good today? All right. How would you like to be doing better? Is better better? Or is, you know, well, I would, what's that?
Service over?
Service over? You're dismissed. Go home. No, I want you to get even more today. That's the title of the message, even more. So turn to the book of Acts and get into Acts chapter 2. And we're just going to talk a little bit about even more. I've just been, as this year has dawned, I've just been feeling more and more about more, and just more of what God wants to do, and more excited about what I think God wants to do. A lot of people are nervous about this year, I think. We've been on the precipice of you know, economic turmoil, and it's been, you know, the last year was real weird. And if some of you have got 401ks and stock market issues, I can identify that that's not a good thing. And then you're wondering, what's this year going to bring? And I listen to some of these business news broadcasts, and they don't know. One guy says one thing, and another one says another thing, and they're back and forth, and they don't know what's going to happen next. And this could be a crazy year for a lot of reasons, but I believe God would like us to have even more. Would you like to have more? Okay, I just want to make sure. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke to you about worship and the wise men. So we did an after Christmas kind of a message. And we talked about the worship of the wise men and how wise men worship. I mentioned it again this morning. And I'm trying to encourage all of us to become more people who are willing to step out more in worship and not be afraid, not hold back. And I ended that message with something I already said today. How far will you go in your worship? You know, maybe you've been happy to raise a hand, you know, kind of like the cactus version of lifting your hands. Or maybe you're just really double cactus version. And some of you are starting to... check your shoulder to make sure it can take lifting your hands, you know. And I'm just encouraging us. The scripture says a lot about worship, and there's a lot of things we can do in worship that are steps, if you will, of sacrifice for us and making us go further than we've ever gone before. Then last week, I talked about the fruit of the Spirit. By the way, I didn't mention this last week, but I'll mention it this week. The fruit of the Spirit. The aspects of the fruit of the Spirit do not include worship. If you think about what those aspects that it mentions in that fruit of the Spirit message, worship was not one of love, joy, peace, etc. Worship wasn't one of them. Part of the emphasis last week was that God works the fruit of the Spirit into us, that we don't work it into ourselves. That God's wanting to get the fruit of the Spirit in us so that it can be for us and be from us for people around us. So God's working in us to do something, and those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, again, are there for us to enjoy, for our life to live according to those things. Worship, though, is not something we do on our own. The fruit of the Spirit is not something we do on our own, but worship is something that takes a little bit of a sacrifice on our part. You know, that's what makes it worship, is that we give our heart, our moments, our thoughts, our focus toward God, that we even involve our body in worshiping Him. And, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, lifting hands and shouting and singing and bowing and kneeling and all the things that you can find in the scripture that are part of worship. But those things aren't something given to us, though that is something that does go through us. And as we choose to worship God, amazing things happen. In fact, I think if we start to worship, the more we worship, the more the fruit of the Spirit manifests. So I give of myself in worship, and He gives me love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. And I need that self-control thing. I don't know about you, but I need it. And I'm not good at doing it myself. But it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit, not something that I have to beat on myself all the time to get. And it's a lot easier if self-control comes in me supernaturally by God's power and I don't have to do it under my own power. How many of you don't? Anybody ever struggle to have willpower? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about. Now, there is a gift of the Spirit, because we have a list of, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and all the aspects of that. And then there are gifts of the Spirit. And there is a gift of the Spirit that is a big part of worship. And I've spoken about it before, but I'm going to remind you this morning on my way to something else. But here in Acts chapter 2, we have this day of Pentecost story that most of us are familiar with. But in case someone's not, I want to go through it real quick. So, starting in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Everybody say confused. Okay, good. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Yeah, it's always confusing to me when people talk in a language I know. Okay, I'm just trying to get your attention on this. Stay with me. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" And now there is the list of languages in which they were born. I want you to take note, by the way. Some people think it's only the 12 that were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but there are more than 12 languages here. And there were 120 in the upper room, and I believe that all of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and all of them spoke in other tongues. And so I will try to pronounce these. Maybe I won't. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya joining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. I will make mention to you that this was a time for an Old Testament festival of Pentecost. And so there were Jews who were born that way. And then there were those who were converts to Judaism. That was proselytes. So all the people who were hearing them, for the most part, were people who were, if you will, believers. They were people who believed in God. Not all of them had yet believed in Jesus. Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Everybody say wonderful works. Okay. So they were all amazed and perplexed. Here we go again. Amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" This is important. Most of you have heard me say this before. It's important because for a long time, even when I was a young man, and even today, there are a lot of people who think that tongues was given on the day of Pentecost to preach the gospel. Notice that up till this moment, no one was hearing the gospel. They were hearing wonderful works, and they were confused. Right? They were hearing wonderful works, but they didn't know what was. They were hearing people in their own languages, and those people were saying wonderful works, but those wonderful works weren't leading them to know what in the world was really going on. They were still confused. Verse 13, others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." However, the gospel did need to be preached, and it was right at this moment that it began to be preached. Verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the eleven, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but Peter stands up with all these Jews and proselytes, and they would have all known Hebrew, so would Peter. It's possible they would have all known Aramaic, which was the common language of the day. It doesn't really matter, except for he stood up with one voice in one language and began to preach the gospel. Up until then, they didn't know what was going on, except they kept hearing the wonderful works of God, but they didn't know what is this all about? And then Peter gets up and he preaches to them. Following his message, in verse 37, we read, "And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" And that's when he says, "Repent," and starts leading them to Jesus so that they find the truth of the gospel. Right there, he had done everything. He'd preached the gospel, and now they're at the moment of receiving. If tongues wasn't given to preach the gospel, then what was it given for? What? Interesting. What are the wonderful works of God? What was it they were doing? What was it people were hearing in their own languages? Well, if you go back to the psalmist David and the book of Psalms and other places throughout the scripture, you will see people break out in praise and worship. And when they do, they almost always break out in saying what God was doing or had done, the wonderful works of God. Tongues is, in essence, now I'm not saying God, by the way, God can't use it for something else. How many of you know the Holy Spirit's not in a box? He's not going to be put in a box by me. But tongues is prayer and praise. It's the Holy Spirit speaking through us toward God. And the other people were hearing it, were hearing those men, the Spirit speaking through them, glorifying God, all toward God. So now listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and 15. "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is fruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." Make sense? That lines up real well, by the way, with Acts chapter 2. I used to watch some, you know, theologians have to go through all sorts of conniptions to tie 1 Corinthians in with Acts chapter 2. Because they thought they were two different things, that tongues did two different things. They didn't. It was the same thing. They got whacked by the Holy Ghost. They started worshiping. They started going after God. Here in 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians, these people had been touched by the Holy Spirit, and they were going after God, and they were worshiping. So why do I bring all that up? Well, do you remember that the Lord taught his disciples to pray? "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Do you see that message, that prayer starting with "hallowed be thy name"? Worship. Worship is us connecting to God, God connecting to us getting in that zone where something's happening. You look at that whole prayer, it ends, "For thine is the glory and the power forever, amen." Right? We're worshiping. We start out with worship, we end with worship in that prayer that Jesus taught us. This connection to God is so awesome. And God wants us to have it, and he wants to have it as much as we can. Now, the reason for my reviewing this with some of you, because some of you already knew this, but maybe there were a few who didn't, and I wanted to make sure we were all on the same page. Here's my question. Can we worship too much? Life is worship. And there's even, I've talked about this before, there's even an Old Testament word that is translated work, but it's also translated worship. So everything we're doing can be worship. And I want to get more of that going in my life. It's just been on my heart. So the first couple messages of the year, and now the third one of the year that I've done, we had Brother Kurt preach the first one. It's a good word too. And they're all up on YouTube if you want to see them. And it might be worth going back and seeing them. Especially you hear what I'm saying today. Well, what did he say last week about the gifts of the Spirit? What did he say about worship, the second week of the year? Jesus said the true worshipers would worship him in spirit and in truth. And this gift of the Spirit is a gift of worship. And the more we worship, the more stuff starts to happen inside of our lives. So now listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 18. I thank my God that I pray with tongues more than y'all. Yeah, Paul was from the South, y'all. I thank my God that I pray with tongues more than any of you, one version says. I'm wondering, number one, how he even knew that. How do you know? I don't know that I would know. I mean, I might pray in tongues more than any of you in this room. I don't know. I do it a lot. I've been increasing it. I've been finding myself looking for more opportunities to just be praying in the Spirit, quietly walking around the house or working on something or doing things. I just want more of that in my life. But imagine with me for a second, how often do you think Paul prayed in tongues, spoke in tongues? Did he do it every week? Is every week good? Do it every week. Did he do it every day? Did he do it every hour? I don't know. You wonder. I mean, he did preach that one message where he started at midnight and preached so late that, you know, a guy fell out of the window. Remember that in the book of Acts? Guy fell asleep, fell out of the window, and they thought he was dead, but Paul went up and lifted him up, and he was fine. Then Paul preached the rest of the night. I don't know whether Paul broke out every hour in tongues partway through his preaching or what he did, you know. Don't know. What's that? Yeah. You know, it's not necessary. I don't want it to be a burden to anybody. But lately, I've just been noticing it in myself. Could I be more in the Spirit if I pray in the Spirit? Could I be more in the Spirit? And, you know, if I'm more in the Spirit, then would I have more fruit of the Spirit? Would I have more of those things, that love? Would I experience more love? Would I experience more joy? How many could use a little more joy? Here's a secret. Turn off the TV news. And Facebook and a lot of it. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Sometimes you get robbed of your joy. Me too. I'm dealing with some of this myself. Maybe while you're watching the news and hearing all the bad news, you should be praying in tongues the whole time. You have permission from me to watch the news praying loudly in tongues the whole time. Because they need all the prayers they can get, don't they? Liars. You know, I felt bad about that. And then I read about Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you are familiar with Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of God, a great man who had healing revivals all over the world. And he was on fire for God and saw some crazy, crazy miracles. One day somebody came in and they had a newspaper under their arm. They were going to walk through his door. And he says, "You're not bringing that in here. I don't want any of those lies in my house." And that was the beginning of the last century, you know, back in that time. Even back then, the press wasn't known for always telling everything exactly the way it was. Imagine that. So I want more love. I want more joy. I want more peace. There are days when I could use some more peace. Patience. How many of you have ever said, "Don't pray for patience because tribulation works patience"? You don't pray for patience because you're afraid you'll get tribulation. Get it this way. Get it this way. It just comes to you. You're just grabbing that fruit of the Spirit. You take a big bite and all the peace that you need is right there as a nutrient inside the fruit of the Spirit. There you go. That's a great idea. Gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness. I want to be more full of faith. I can get that by partaking of the fruit of the Spirit. Meekness. Meekness is strength, quiet strength, and self-control. Everything's out of control. I just need more of His presence. I'll have more self-control. Not because I got it, but because I, you know, it's like, it's not a vending machine. Okay, you can't just give God a few bucks and say, okay, but as you give of yourself to Him, it is almost like He's like, oh, you need a little, I'll fill up that, and I'll fill up that, and I'll fill up that. And just give me more of what I need because of His presence. So it can touch my everyday life, and it can touch everything that I do. I want to walk in that. I want to live in that. I want to be in that atmosphere. I need to be in that atmosphere sometimes. I'm usually, you know, the truth of the matter is, I was thinking, what is it that really cranks me up? Like, do I get cranked up about much of anything? And I really don't get cranked up a whole lot about anything. But a few times my grandson was visiting. Some of you have those moments, don't you? Where you have this thing that you're trying to, yeah. Now listen to this. I'm going to mess with you even further. Have you been messed with enough yet? Just look at the person next to you and say, he's messing with you on purpose. Tell him that. 1 Corinthians 14:5. We've been bouncing around that you can watch all of you can read all of 1 Corinthians 14. There's a whole lot there. I'm not going to get to it all. But he says in 1 Corinthians 14:5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Some people read this in certain versions and it almost makes it sound like tongues isn't important and prophecy is. That's not what it meant. I love the way this one says it, even more. Tongues has great value, and there is even more value in prophecy. Paul spoke in tongues a lot. How often do you think he prophesied? Actually, I don't remember a place in the scripture where Paul says, thus saith the Lord. Where he prophesies over some situation or some individual. He gets prophesied over, by the way, a couple of times in the book of Acts. But I didn't see any place, I can't remember any place, maybe it's there, I just don't remember it, where he actually breaks out in prophecy. Yet he valued prophecy more than tongues, and he said he spoke in tongues a lot, more than anybody. What if we could increase our prophetic encounters? What if we could increase those? What do you mean? Well, we need to think about that a little bit. When we hear the word prophecy, we often think of, you know, some person who's gifted and they come, maybe they speak at a church or they're at a conference of some kind, or someone in this group of people that we have that kind of has that gifting flowing through them, and they just break out and say things about people, and you know, the Lord's just encouraging someone, and it's really great. But not all prophecy is a thus saith the Lord kind of a prophecy. The essence of prophecy is saying what the Lord is saying. Paul wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament. Do you think he was saying what the Lord was saying? Yeah, I think so. I think Paul went about preaching, and in his preaching, he was saying what the Lord was saying, trying to get people's attention so that they would hear the voice of God, learn to hear the voice of God, and start to do what God was telling them to do. When the Spirit of God moves in and starts to be on the words of any Christian, man or woman, then that word that's being given, even though it may not seem like thunderbolts from heaven, it still has the presence of God on it. And in its simplest form, that's what prophecy is. So I want to give you an example of a spiritually prophetic exchange that I had this week. Because out of nowhere, on Friday morning, my phone buzzes, and I look down to see what's going on with it, and I'm getting a message over Facebook Messenger. And I won't tell you his whole name, but it was from a guy named John. Just out of the blue, John. Now, he's a friend, a Facebook friend. How many of you have a lot of Facebook friends? Yeah, I've got over 1,300 of them. And not because I'm that friendly with everybody, because the truth of the matter is I can't keep track of 1,300 people. I can't keep track of three people most of the time. I just, you know, it's. But we all have those friends. They somehow connect to something. We post something about, you know, anything that's going on in our life. And they like it. They see it somehow, and then they send you a friend request. You had that? Has that happened to most of you? Yeah. So, you know, I wrote a book. I was traveling. A lot of people were in meetings with me and different things. So I've got, you know, a number of people who have become my friends. I've got a number of people who have gotten rid of me too, I think. I don't know. I never really have kept track of it. I just glanced at it last night so I would know. So his name's John. I won't tell you last names or anything. And he contacted me. And he started this conversation with me on Facebook Messenger. And here's what he said. John, met you at one of the first Power and Love conferences back 14 years ago. Was there with my buddy Keith. And we ended up going to lunch with you. Not really sure you would remember that. It stuck in my head, though. Was up at in the northwest corner of Ohio. And I said, yes, in Ridgeville Corners. And some of you may remember we had a Power and Love conference in Ridgeville Corners. It was probably the smallest place the Power and Love conferences have ever gone, because they're still doing them. And some of you remember there was this guy with dreadlocks that were about this long, came to the church. He started preaching here, but he was preaching back there, but he was preaching over there, but he was preaching. He ran all over the church. There was no point in even trying to follow him with a camera. It was impossible. His name was Todd White. And now Todd White's dreads that were about this long are now like this long. And he's all over the world being used of God. John said, oh, okay, good memory. At the time, I was a mess. I was coming through a major bit of deliverance. And much better now, much better place. So I responded, I remember the conference and going out with people, but I honestly can't say that I remember your name. But if I saw your face, that would probably help a lot. And I was about to click to go to, you know, his Facebook page so I could see his face. And he responded, that would do it. And then he sends me a picture. Look familiar? And I said, yes, you do look familiar. He says, cool, cool. I think you were there with your wife. I recall, possibly, her giving me a short word. You would probably remember Keith better. You guys talked at length. By the way, my wife doesn't remember giving anybody a word during that conference. So I don't know who I was with or how he thought I had. One of those things. He says, I remember how exuberant you were. Was encouraging to me, and I really needed the encouragement at that moment. Exuberant. I think in my 65 years, this is the first time I've ever been called exuberant. I like it. Exuberant. You can call me that from now on. Your exuberance. Tim the exuberant. Yeah, that was how he remembered it. So I responded, well, that's encouraging for me to hear. Thank you. I am glad that you are doing well today. Now, up to this point, you know, we were just Yeah, but do you, well, let's just read on the rest of it and then I'll ask. He said, thank you, Tim. It was a long process, but I am through it finally. Just wanted to reach out and personally thank you for the joy you carry. It really affected me. Yay, God. Then I said, Father, thank you for John today. I pray for a powerful impartation of joy to him today. May he have it in him and may it be contagious wherever he goes. Amen. John said, bless you, brother. And I said, he already did through you just now. I'm heading off to a meeting, but my meeting will be even better thanks to this joyful little morning encounter. Have a great day. You as well, Tim. Did you hear the thus saith the Lord in there? No, you didn't. But did you hear the prophetic interaction? Because I was greatly encouraged out of nowhere. I was at Mercy Hospital that day getting ready to do rounds to go pray with people. And I got to pray with 11 people on Friday. It was fun. Because people want you to pray with them most of the time. Very few don't want you to pray. Most of them want you to pray. Like when you go visit and you smile and you'd smile through a mask right now. Oh, Jesus, help us with that. But anyway, you know, you just go in and you talk to them, and sometimes they tell long stories, and sometimes they don't tell much because they're not feeling very well. But almost every time I ask them, would you like me to pray before I leave, they are always for that. So it's kind of like picking ripe fruit. It just comes off easy. But I was getting ready to go, and it was just really encouraging to me that out of nowhere, from years and years and years ago, a guy just decides to contact me and speaks encouragement, edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what 1 Corinthians 14:3 says. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's what I was getting. And John gave it to me, and I gave it back. I prayed for him. That he would be full of joy. That he'd get an impartation of that which he had seen in me that day. And I can't say that I'm always exuberant. I'm not always exuberant. Probably as exuberant as I could be, or as maybe I should be. I'm not beating on me for not always being exuberant, but how many of you would like to be more exuberant? Wouldn't it be fun to go around exuberant all the time? Well, that's not who I am. No. You're probably not that. Neither was I. But here's a good idea. Here's what I want you to do. Drop dead. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. That's Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I wouldn't it be fun to just be that way all the time? Irritating. Yeah, some of your friends wouldn't like you, especially your family. Stop being so happy. Is it possible? I don't know how far you can go with this. How far will you go in worship? How far will you go to see these things in your life? How far? What if? But let's just not. Okay. Let's bring it down from the best it can be. I'm not there yet either. Let's bring it down from exuberant to I am. What was it Mike Mark was sharing earlier about the testimony about the guy who needs coffee before he can function in the morning? What if you could just get to the point where you didn't have to have coffee? What? <Yeah. laughs> Somebody wants to cast that spirit out of me right now. Ha, come out of him. That can't be God. What if you could be so full of the things of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, by using the gifts of the Spirit, by going after God in your everyday life in those moments when, I mean, you don't have to go out in the middle of, Mark, don't, well, maybe if God, Mark, God could tell Mark to do this. I'm not sure he would tell any of the rest of us to do this. Mark, maybe you don't want to go out in the middle of the showroom floor and go, Hashandala bakara ni marianda bakota marata. Maybe you don't want to do that.
Get it on camera.
But if you do, get it on camera. We want to see. Yeah, You know, maybe you don't want to do something in a way that's, well, you've seen people who do want to draw attention to themselves, right? They do what they do in the Spirit because it's more about drawing attention to themselves than it is about the Spirit. And I know that happens. So don't be that guy. But I just feel like if we could just get this picture in our mind that we can pray in the Spirit and we can even more say in words of encouragement and speak edification, exhortation, and comfort to men around us, and we can walk in the Spirit and we can be full of that fruit of the Spirit, those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and let the gifts of the Spirit help us with that. What if we could do more of that? Maybe not to the point where, you know, you're the most spiritual person I've ever seen, but just where you're better than you were yesterday. A little bit better tomorrow than today. A little bit more next week than I had last week. A little bit more of going after God, just trying to add it in. Now, I know there's probably people sitting in this room and you don't even, like, speaking in tongues is completely, like, most of you probably not, but some of you don't have that gift. Might be a little foreign to you. I have prayed with literally hundreds, probably over 1,000 people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've never had anybody not get it. And I've never seen anybody not find themselves operating in gifts quickly with that experience. But I'll tell you this. One of my friends, she was actually kind of a girlfriend for a little while. I still have a prophecy that I've got stuff someplace that she gave me before she even knew about speaking in tongues or anything else, because she would write these poems and they would have the breath of God on them. And I've got this poem stuck away someplace that she wrote, the handwritten version of it, that was one of the most profound prophecies that I received as a very young man. Better than several people who had given me a thus saith the Lord. Ha! You know, started telling me, good God, good God. And she just wrote this wonderful, and the Spirit of the Lord was on it. The Spirit of the Lord is on everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord and is saved. And yes, there is a level to take it to. And there is this thing where you go from having the Spirit in you to having the Spirit on you. And we are being, if you will, Spirit inside of you. And then you being inside, dipped into, immersed in the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, dunked in His presence. And all those things are wonderful. But I want you to be able to dwell tomorrow and the next day and the next day and every hour of the day. I want you to dwell in the wonderful love and the wonderful joy and the wonderful peace and the wonderful patience and the wonderful gentleness and goodness and faith and strength of meekness and self-control that the Holy Spirit wants to give you. And I just want you to just feel free to go after it a little bit more. You don't have to have reached the apex of what you're ever going to be, but let's just start going after it a little bit more. And if you can't pray in the Spirit, let me know. If you will, I will help you. I will pray with you. We'll see God touch you in a way that will allow that to be part of your... I like to do it when I'm going down the road in the car. I like to do it when I'm walking around here sometimes in the morning, just before the service, before I get here early. I make sure that, you know, some things are turned on, and I pray, and I pray in the Spirit. One more thing. Mark has been bringing up testimonies again, trying to stir us up to testimonies. This that I'm talking about is also a testimony. Now, maybe when you heard my testimony, maybe you even thought I was being a little bit boastful. Oh, you think you're all that in a bag of chips now, Mr. Exuberant. Paul had the same issue, by the way. He would tell people about some of the experiences he had in God, and he says, if I'm boasting, you know, I might be a fool, but I'm going to boast because I'm going to boast in the Lord. You can read about some of that in 1 Corinthians 11 and 2 Corinthians 12, and there's other places. I think sometimes some of you may be reluctant to share your testimonies Because you don't want anybody to think that you're trying to pat yourself on the back. Because you think it sounds like boasting. Maybe not when someone else does it, but you think when you do it, it sounds like boasting. But Paul was never reluctant to give God glory. Even if it kind of seemed like it was giving him a little glory. He was never reluctant to give God glory. And our testimonies become prophecies because when people hear them, they begin to have faith, which is an aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. And what God did for them, we start to think God could do that or something like that for us. Exciting to think about. What does Revelation chapter 19, verse 10 say? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mark was prophesying over you, and you may not have realized it when he started to tell his testimony today. He was prophesying what's possible for you with maybe some of your coworkers. Or maybe what's possible for you if you don't, you know, if you get enough of the Spirit that you don't have to have that cup of coffee to make it through. He's prophesying. As people respond to our testimonies, are you ready? As people respond to the testimonies, when they hear them, they begin to have faith and they begin to worship. They begin to become thankful. They begin to recognize the greatness of God. So again today, my preaching is intended as an invitation, not condemnation. Let me make that very clear. My preaching today is intended as invitation, not condemnation. If you are feeling something, if you are feeling moved, if there's a little bit of a wrestling going on, that might be something called conviction. The Holy Spirit saying to you, it's time to do something about this. Not because you have to. You get to. It's an invitation into something that he wants to do in our hearts and our lives. He wants to bring us to a greater level and then another great. And you know, the thing is, what God does just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. He's not into, well, I'll take you this far and then it's all downhill from there. We go from glory to glory to glory, the scripture says. That's God's heart for us. I want more. I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more than ever before. I need you more. I need you, Lord. And I don't know what this year, 2023, is going to bring, but here's what I do know. I don't care what it brings. If it brings more of him, the rest of it won't be a problem. If it brings more of him, then they can do whatever crazy things they want to do. Won't change what he's got for me. He can bring me more in the midst of financial distress, calamity, war, you name it. He can still bring me more. And I want more. We used to sing it as hippies. I want more of Jesus, more and more and more. I want more of Jesus than I've ever had before. I want more of his great love, so rich and full and free. I want more of Jesus, so I'll give him more of me. And if we do that, then we will carry exhortation, edification, and comfort to everyone around us. We will carry the fruit of the Spirit so that not only can we partake of it, but everybody around us can partake of it. It can be a year of even more. And that's what I want, even more. So, Father, thank you. There is more. There is more if we'll go after it. There is more if we'll receive it. There is more if we'll let you do the more that you want to do. Lord, no condemnation, invitation. Help us, Lord, to step into that which you have for us. Thank you that you love us so much that you gave your one and only Son. There wasn't anything you held back. And now, you're not holding anything back now. You're ready to give us more. And so we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.